Verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." Mark 14 gives us the parallel passage. And here we start in verse 22. While they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take it, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." And the Luke passage is Luke 22. Starting in verse 14. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the kingdom of God comes." When he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." And so we see the parallel passages in the Gospels concerning what we call the Lord's table. And we sometimes will use a word and not give too much thought about it, where it came from or what it means. There is a fairly famous, if you're of the correct age, sequence of Red Skelton giving the meaning of the Pledge of Allegiance that was given to him by the principal of his old school. Some of you are too young, but he went over the words and explained to the children what the words meant, because he thought they were just running through the words of the pledge without paying any attention to what the words meant. But it's our custom to observe the Lord's table first Sunday of the month. And we call this ordinance communion. And so on a very practical basis, it's a sharing of unleavened bread and grape juice. And so on a Saturday night, you will find me kneading dough and rolling it out and throwing it in the oven at 500 degrees. But the symbolism of the event is more important than the consumption of those two items. I would like each one of you to ponder why you're here today. What brings you here? What does this ordinance mean to you as an individual? And what does it mean to the group as a whole? It's one of the threads that binds this church together. So if we were going to take our Webster's Dictionary or our Funkin' Wagnall and set out to define the word communion, it means the sharing of personal thoughts, the sharing of intimate thoughts and feelings, and particularly on a spiritual level. It also implies sympathy and confidence. agreement and fellowship, meaning the interchange of thoughts and purposes. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? How shall we do it together? This definition describes what a church is and what a church does. It's who we are. So we commune with one another during this time. Typically, we take an offering so we can have a pot of money that's ready to help with a sudden crisis that might come up with someone in the church or associated with the church. And when we give, we don't have any idea who is going to be helped. But the idea is we wish to be ready to help should help be needed. A commune is an intentional community of people sharing interests and values. It's closely related then to the word communion, commune. And if an idea or picture comes to your head of a bunch of hippies out in the woods growing marijuana somewhere, no. Put that aside. The key word here is intentional, okay? It's not a random group of people thrown together. It's not a group of people on a bus somewhere going to disparate destinations. It's a group of people who intend to form a community and desire to form a community. They're there because they want to be there. The other important part of this definition is shared interests and values. This group has a certain set of interests and values. It's shared by the whole, and it defines what they desire to do as a group. So if you look over this past year, this group had to stop meeting together for a brief period of time due to the coronavirus, but they desired to stay in fellowship. So we sent devotionals around to the homes. We called around to the people, and we planned to start meeting again, which we did. During that same period of time, we were deliberating on replacing the heating system, which was a huge project. You don't see any icicles coming down from my nose, so obviously we did that. And it was a big undertaking. Our word communion comes from the Latin word communionem, meaning fellowship, mutual participation, or sharing. Now, if you want to look back to the New Testament Greek, it's koinonia, meaning joint participation, sharing, or intimacy. It's mentioned quite a few times in the New Testament, in the Greek. So if we look at them, and here you can see that there's not always an exact equivalent in the English for the Greek, and that's one of the troubles that a translator has. How do you get it perfect? Well, the answer is you don't. And they were, Acts 2:42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. It's translated fellowship there, but that's koinonia, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Romans 15:26 says, "For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution." Contribution, not fellowship. Once again, koinonia. "For the poor among the saints in Jerusalem." If we go to 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Fellowship, koinonia. Now, 1 Corinthians 10:16, this is where Paul is criticizing the Corinthian church for the way they're doing the Lord's table. He says there's a problem. And he's saying, God is faithful through whom you were called into fellowship, koinonia, with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. But in 10:16 it says, is not the cup of blessing which we share sharing, once again, koinonia, in the blood of Christ, is not the bread which we break sharing, once again, koinonia, in the body of Christ. So, I mean, there it's sharing. Elsewhere it's fellowship. Elsewhere it's contributions. Galatians 2:6, and recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, koinonia, that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Now, I brought out these examples. Actually, there's over a dozen more, but time does not permit me to wander down all those paths. But koinonia can mean the fellowship of meeting and breaking bread. It can mean the cooperation needed in a project like the gathering of contributions for the poor saints in Jerusalem. So, when I spoke earlier of the heating project, that would be an example of koinonia. We had Steve Freer was here kind of on the ground supervising, and the deacons were involved, the people were involved in the giving, and everybody worked together to get it done. It can mean our fellowship with Jesus Christ. Paul uses this term to define the fellowship of the Lord's table and also the fellowship of admission to the early church. When we vote on somebody, we give them the right hand of fellowship and we welcome them into membership. Paul uses the same word to describe the fellowship of the suffering of Christ. So even in suffering, there's fellowship. Now, in the Acts reference, we see the early church members had fellowship in breaking of bread and prayer. So that tells me that prayer meeting is a form of communion. Think about it. This is where shared and common interests find voice in prayer as we bring concerns to God. There's a fellowship in praying. Prayer in prayer meeting is made for missionaries all across the world. And so the threads of fellowship tie those churches and ministries in with our church all over the world. I had an employee one time travel through one of these travel packages to Africa. He had a stroke over there. And so he was in a hospital in South Africa. And of course, we had insurance, but you go travel abroad, and a lot of times they want cash. They don't know anything about insurance and they don't want to hear about it. So I had this guy stranded in Cape Town, South Africa. But I had friends that were missionaries in South Africa. So I called them. They said, we'll look into it. They knew a missionary in Cape Town. They called him. And within a day, he had gone and visited my employee in the hospital. He went to the administrator's office, got their contact information, told him I wanted to talk to him. And so with Koinonia, the threads that tie Christian communities together all over the world, I could call my insurance administrator, I could call the hospital in Cape Town, and I got arrangements made so this guy could get care. Otherwise, his future would have been pretty uncertain whether they would have even let him stay in the hospital. And so you can see the fellowship that goes all over the world. The guy in Cape Town didn't know me at all. He knew that I was a Christian and I was friends of some other missionaries elsewhere in South Africa. That's all he needed to know. In the Romans reference, we have the common fellowship of giving. The church is, or certainly should be, a caring organization, caring for others. One of the first issues in the early church that's recorded in Acts is the issue of taking care of widows. They speak of the daily distribution of food. And so this church was in its infancy. What was it doing? Taking care of widows. Later in Acts, we read about sending out missionaries. So a compassion for the less fortunate is a hallmark of the church, whether they're less fortunate in material things or less fortunate in spiritual things, either one. So when a church takes on a project and giving becomes sharing and joint participation, we're talking about koinonia. We agree on a common goal. We participate together to reach that goal. And like most things in the church, it can't be accomplished by a single person. It needs cooperation. It needs community to reach that goal. Giving to missions, our missions budget, is another thread of communion, tying us together with the missionaries here, there, or throughout the world. Now, the 1 Corinthians reference, the first one I gave, 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That speaks to our fellowship with Christ. By his sacrifice, we were saved. By his sacrifice, we were called into fellowship. It's where he wants us to be. He's the head of the church. He's the reason for the existence of the church. He's the stone that was rejected by the builders that became the chief cornerstone, which was something he asked the religious authorities. He said, "Did you ever read that? What do you suppose that means?" Of course, they didn't like the question. And they didn't like the implied and obvious answer either. Now, of course, the second reference in Corinthians speaks to the fellowship of the church in participation of the Lord's table. It's a sharing in remembrance. We remember what the Lord has done for us, and it combines the fellowship among members with the fellowship with the Lord as we remember. We remember what was done in the past, and we look forward to his coming, when he'll come to catch away the church. We don't know when that'll happen. We know when the Lord died for us. We don't know when he's coming. He said, "No man knows the day and hour." So never get caught up with some of these self-styled prophets that said the Lord is coming such and such a year. We've had that going way back to the 1880s. There's a group of people that sold all they had, gave it to the poor, and set up on rooftops waiting for the Lord to come back. Very, very interesting historical movement. You can read about it. But the man who told them that date did not know what he was talking about. We have other groups that claim that the World War I generation, when nation rose against nation, will not pass away until the Lord returns. But those World War I boys are getting pretty long in the tooth, what few of them are left. That prophecy is going to have to be revised. Oh, it didn't really mean this, now it means something else. But we do remember and we do know when our Lord died and rose again. The reference in Galatians speaks to the right hand of fellowship. That's what we give to this day when people join. And they're joining what? An intentional community. We intend to be here. We're here because we want to be here. People with shared interest and shared values. And so upon joining, they can expect sympathy and fellowship with other believers. They can have a confidence that the goals and the purposes that we have here will be shared in the furtherance of ministry. And we can't know what exact shape that's going to take. We know it's going to take different shapes. We have tried to do all different things during this pandemic. We started sending out sermon notes via snail mail and email so people can have an idea what's transpiring here, even if the coronavirus keeps them home. And I know a number of people who indeed are staying home because they're worried about it. They're worried about their health. Perhaps they're immune compromised. Perhaps they're up in years. Perhaps they have other physical ailments that put them at risk. So out of prudence, they stay home. But we want them to remember that they're part of what? An intentional community that's gathering together with shared values, shared interest, and with sympathy for one another and an interest in one another. So I might call somebody up and they might say, hello, what can I do for you? And I might tell them, well, I'm on the phone to stick my nose in your business. Tell me how this is going or how that is going or what's happening in your life. And quite honestly, if you take this much of an interest, people will tell you their whole life story. All you have to do is listen, and they'll tell you anything and everything. But that's koinonia. That's a fellowship. That's an intentional community. And so, as we ponder these meanings, commune, communion, koinonia, we can see the threads that are tying the church together. At the church I formerly attended, Bethel, they had a practice of singing, "Blessed be the tie that binds," at the end of a communion service. And the song is really a recognition of all these threads. As a church, we celebrate the Lord's table together. We pray together. In ministry, we work together. I've worked side by side with some wonderful Christian people over the years. Some are still with us and some are gone. when there is a need, we give together. Remember when they were building the tabernacle in the desert and Moses had to tell the people, stop giving. I got no place to put more stuff and we have enough and to spare. And it says in that portion, the people had a mind to give. Once again, that's a form of koinonia. And so we seek then to meet the needs of the group and edify the church as a whole. Now, before we come to the Lord's table, and I've got to go down and get my elements because I went and forgot. I see my wife laughing at me. Sometimes I have too many things on my mind at once, and there just isn't room in there for all of them, so some get discarded. But before we go into the Lord's table, we'll have a moment of silent prayer as you prepare your hearts for this time. Let's pray.